and welcome to Apartment 4D, the podcast all about New Girl. I'm your host, Jill, here with my co-host, Heather.
Hi, everybody.
So we'll call you Heves. Heather and Joe.
Hello.
Okay, we're here to talk about New Girl Season 2, Episode 3, Fluffer. But before we do, we will start with the feeling stick. Shockingly, I have no feeling stick today. Joe, do you have something to talk about other than this episode?
Yes.
Oh.
So... apparently, if you watch a certain Christmas show, there is Zoe on it.
Very good.
And
why are you keeping it a secret what movie it is?
You would never know it because she has a different color hair. Because I'm going to tell people, watch Elf. If they watch Elf,
so you can't tell them.
And try to figure out which one is Zoe.
Joe.
Okay.
I have to disagree with you because, A, there's only two female characters in the movie. And two, it very clearly is Zooey Deschanel with blonde hair. I don't find it confusing at all.
She does not have dark eyes whatsoever.
See, Joe thinks her eyes are a different color, but I'm trying to tell him that when you make your hair brown...
they stand out more.
Exactly. When you're blonde, you're washed out, so your eyes get a little washed out, too. And as someone with blue eyes, I think he'd understand how they work.
But I never dye my hair.
No, my God.
No, we don't. Thank you.
And I don't think... I know that this was new information to you, but I think pretty much everybody who watches New Girl knows she was an elf.
Yes.
Well, it was a nice plug for Elf, and if they want to sponsor us, it's cool.
I think movie that came out 10 years ago wants to.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Elf.
More than 10 years
ago. So anyways, that was my feeling, was that she was in this thing. She was only 23 at the time. That she was in her 30s when she did New Girl.
Right, right.
But she looks totally different. The character's totally different. Her mannerisms are totally different. So it was just kind of neat to see. Because when I watched Jake Johnson and stuff, it's the same. I watched Schmidt. He kind of has the same mannerisms.
Oh, I agree.
You're like in the neighborhood.
Totally.
It's kind of like Schmidt. You know what I'm saying? But this is like, I think, a total reversal. Although she is singing seriously in this versus how she sings New Girl.
Oh.
She just makes up these songs.
Right, these silly songs.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Now, see, that's what the feeling stick is all about, is how you can see these characters in other shows.
Yep. Heather, do you have anything for the feeling stick segment?
I do. It was interesting. Total coincidence here, guys. Last week, we talked about how Winston's mom character...
mm-hmm.
The actress was on Mom.
Right.
And I watched Mom to go to sleep at night. And she was on last night.
Yeah, because she's on the show.
Well, no, she only had two episodes. She's a probation officer. And I was like, that's Winston's mom.
Charmaine.
Yeah, so I had to just share that story. If you like her, go ahead and watch Mom. It's a great show. And Eldon's on it, too.
Okay, so we'll get into the episode. The Netflix description is, Nick and Jess address their relationship without benefits, and Schmidt hopes to date a cute Republican by pretending to be one of Mitt Romney's sons. Guest stars from this episode include Taryn Southern as Megan, Rebecca Delgado-Smith as Courtney, who is in The Good Place and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and Anisha Adusamili as April, who was in Lucifer. And I actually thought, I don't know if you guys remember this, but the girl who, at the wedding episode, the girl who Schmidt was trying to hook up with and pretend like he was an alcoholic, I thought that Megan, the girl he was trying to date in this episode, looks like her a lot. They're two totally different actresses, but I just thought they looked a lot alike.
The alcoholic is from, oh wait, no, it's not.
So, general, well, let's get into the episode. So the first scene is Jess in what I would like to point out becomes an important article of clothing down the road
her
pink robe. Yes. Okay. And she comes to Nick's room while Sam's in her room and says she doesn't know how to have casual sex. She left him in there with crayons and paper and told him she had to go check her fantasy football. And she doesn't even know what that is and that she needs his help. But then Sam comes out, so she runs away. And Nick's like, oh, she had to go check her fantasy football. Yeah, I'm not doing this.
He's like, I'm going back to bed.
So I think that's interesting that the person Jess goes to...
Is Nick.
But I guess proximity. He's across the hall.
Right. And he's a good friend.
Yeah. So now we're in the kitchen with Schmidt and Winston. And another important article of clothing in this episode is Schmidt's belt, which is blue with pink whales. And he says that Kanye wore this belt. And Nick comes in and says, "You look like a villain in an 80s movie."
Which bad 80s movie.
Yeah, a bad 80s movie.
Which I actually use that all the time now.
You do?
Yeah, a villain in an 80s movie. Because there is a certain look. Like, one of my coworkers always wears her sweater over, like, not on. She doesn't stick her arms through. She drapes them over her like they did in the 80s. So I saw you look like a villain in a 1980s high school movie.
That is what they did.
I know. So he says that he wants to be friends with Kanye. They call him Tag Romney. They're just kind of making fun of him when Jess comes in and says last night was horrible and she just can't handle it. She can't have a relationship with casual sex. She needs to go on a date first. So Schmidt says, we'll all take you out on a date first tonight, because Schmidt really cares if people have casual sex.
Yes. Friends help friends have meaningless sex,
is what he said.
Quote by Schmidt.
Yeah, not quote by Heather.
No, we just said it. Oh, sorry.
Any thoughts before I move on to the next scene?
Oh, the next scene. Well, so good.
This is when Jess, when they were talking, she goes, "I need the kind of guy that you spend Saturdays in sweatpants with."
Yes.
Oh, nice catch, Joe.
Yeah, so...
Well, she said that Sam isn't that kind of guy.
Sam isn't that kind of guy. Yeah. Yeah.
True. So now we go to the restaurant and we see that Nick's the only person who shows up. He calls Schmidt, who's the one who orchestrated the whole date. And Schmidt says that he's at a club where Kanye West was. And he brought Winston to prove he knows how to make black friends.
Even odd-shaped ones.
And then it pans out and you see Winston can hear him.
Yeah. And Winston is not odd-shaped.
Not at all. Lamorne looks great.
Where did this Kanye obsession come from?
I wanted to know the same thing. Ooh, discussion question.
I just don't know.
Well, I think, first of all, Kanye was a big deal at the time.
Oh, yeah.
Second, there's a couple episodes where Schmidt references basically leaving them as a friend group for better, more baller friends. I think that
Kanye was a serious baller at that time.
Was this pre-Taylor Swift Kanye?
No, it was post.
I think it was
5 years later, because
might have been. I don't know.
It was post.
So season two was 2013. When did Kanye get up on that
2009.
Stage?
2009.
I mean, regardless of Kanye being a good or bad person after that moment, his public perception, he's very popular still.
Right. And he was in that like thing with Jay-Z. It was like a record label.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Jess arrives at the date right when it looks like Nick's trying to run out, and you can see that she looks very beautiful, and he tells her she looks pretty really awkwardly, and the way they look at each other, you could tell they're in love.
Who's on a date, by the way?
Jess and Nick.
Did you watch the episode, Joe?
Okay.
He's got some great notes going there.
So before we get deeper into that dinner for them, we go back to the club. The guys are in line. Winston is staring in a creepy way at other girls, and we find out that he's cheating on Shelby. In his mind.
But, according to Schmidt, he looks like he's a serial killer, which would explain a lot, Schmidt says.
Well, Winston does some weird stuff.
If he's staring too much.
Well, did he say if Winston was a serial killer?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's like, oh, I'm cheating on Shelby in my mind. He's like, oh, I thought you were just a serial killer, which would explain a lot, like, of your normal behavior. He wasn't acting crazy yet. He didn't have the cat yet.
These lines they're just so good.
Yeah, it's chock full of good quotes this episode.
Yeah.
So before we get any further into the club scene, we're back with Jess at the restaurant, and she says that it's really expensive, and Nick says it's because Schmidt picked it out, but she brought white wine in a thermos.
In a thermos.
And which he thought was whiskey.
He's all, ooh, and then she's all white wine.
I know.
No, but I like the line where I think Jess said it, or maybe Nick said it, I can afford valet and extra onions.
Extra onions, yes. Well, I thought he said one onion.
One onion?
Yeah. So either way, it's a great line. Yeah.
I've been at restaurants like that before where I'm very much panicking.
Yeah.
Like, I'll have a water with a side of free bread.
Please bring as much free bread as you can.
Which was in the very first episode.
Yeah.
So we're back at the club, and the guys can't get in, and Winston's like, you've got to take the belt off. It's the belt.
Yeah.
And Schmidt's like, no, that's not it. He goes, if you're going to wear it, at least let it work for us, and goes up to the bouncer and says, I need you to sweep the perimeter. We got Tag Romney here. Uh-huh. And then Schmidt comes up like, what is it? Let's put America back to work.
Yes, Tag Romney. And then Cece's wearing a red dress.
Well, we're not at that scene yet. Sorry. We're still outside the club.
My bad.
So now we're back at the restaurant. Again, it's a lot of choppy. It's fine to watch, but choppy to discuss.
Yeah.
Back at the restaurant, and Jess is handing the thermos back and forth under the table, and the waitress says, the drunker you guys get, the more obvious the thermos is.
Which I don't think she would have just let it go at that if you were in a real restaurant.
No, that's definitely against the law. Yeah. And that's when Sam texts her and says that he's off work and he wants to get together. And I use this quote a lot, too, and I probably shouldn't. Because then Nick goes, ooh, he has a job too? Poke a hole in that condom.
Oh, yeah. That was a good match.
But guys, it comes in useful in life when someone's talking about someone else. You're like, ooh, he owns a car? Poke a hole in that condom.
I could never say that.
Oh, I do it all the time. And no one knows the reference. They probably think I'm a little crazy. So it looks to me like Nick's a little sad and Jess gets up to leave. Now we're back at the club. And we see that Winston says, oh, I see why we're here. It's not because of Kanye. It's because Cece's here. And Heather, did you want to say something about her outfit?
Yeah, I thought it was kind of interesting that Jess is in the restaurant in a red dress. And simultaneously, Cece is in the club in a red dress.
Oh, yeah, they were both in red. Yeah,
just fun facts.
But nice. So a friend comes up and says, a girl comes up and says, excuse me, my friend's too shy to ask, but are you a Romney? And then he says, yes, I'm. And she goes, Tag? He goes, Tug. I'm Tug Romney.
One letter difference.
Exactly. Like, that makes it okay to lie about who
the
you
other
are.
Brother. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. The lesser known. There's too much Tag.
Too much Tag. Yeah.
So the next morning, everyone's hanging out in the bathroom, and Jess comes in and says that she broke her dresser hooking up with Sam because the date before worked, and she's so happy. And she asks Nick to go to IKEA with her to buy a new one. As she's talking, Winston's doing the weird stare thing at Jess, and I don't appreciate that.
No.
Because they are just friends.
Right.
But who said the line when they were talking about IKEA, I'm a sucker for the mom collection?
Someone said that.
Yeah.
Well, it was Nick, but I don't think it was Mom Collection.
I thought it was Mom Collection, too.
I didn't watch it with closed captions.
Oh, see,
why are you even here?
Otherwise, I would have known that.
Don't do a season of bossing us around to do closed captioning, then come two episodes in a row without it.
He doesn't do it. He takes so many more notes.
I'm a sucker for the Mom Collection.
Yeah, I think it was the Mom Collection.
Okay, we'll leave it to Instagram to explain to us, because I feel confident there's nothing called the Mom
Collection.
There's
different collections of furniture.
I just think it sounds like Mom, but it was probably a different
Like the Martha Stewart collection.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Right.
So, anyways, Winston says, look, dude, a line has been crossed. You've become her emotional fluffer. You're her boyfriend without any of the benefits. And he is getting visibly frustrated at Winston trying to tell him that and tell him what to do. And then Jess comes back in and says that it's going to take an hour and a half to get there because it's not the closest IKEA. And then you can see it kind of resonate with Nick, like, oh, wait a minute. Maybe there's something to that. So now we're with Schmidt and Cece in the loft, and she's just discussing how he's going to get caught. I don't really think there's much to that scene other than that. No. There's a nice scene between them later, but...
Yes.
And I like how now they're friends, because she comes back later. She's walking him through the whole pretending to be a Romney. So Jess and Nick bring home the dresser, and Jess is like, do you know how to put this together? Because I don't think it looks that hard.
Right.
And then he blurts out, I'm not your fluffer. I'm a boyfriend without the rewards. And she says, you want the rewards? And he says, no, blah.
Yeah.
And then they get in an argument because she says, don't say blah. I know you've thought about it. I've thought about it. And I love his face. He's like, you've thought about it?
Yeah. He gets like a little
sparkle. Interesting. Yeah. And so they just get in a big argument about it and how he says that, you know, he's not going to be the guy who helps her and calls her when she can't find her phone.
Right.
He storms out and then she can't find her phone and he accidentally butt dials her butt call. What do you guys think of that argument?
I thought it was just really funny because I always have to Facebook you to leave my phone because I can never find my phone.
I know. Or one time you came over to my house and said, can you wait and then call me because I can't find my phone?
Oh, yeah. That was funny when I did that.
That was hilarious.
Yeah.
Anything to say about the argument, Joe?
And then they were talking about deep lunges.
Yes, thought about it when you walked in on me
doing my deep lunges.
Yeah.
My whole browser history is just filled with search deep for deep lunges.
Yeah. It was and then they did a flashback to Nick crying.
Yeah, she said that when she thought about hooking up with him, he was at the bar making two peanuts talk to each other.
Oh.
And then broke down and like started crying. which is ridiculous because you can see the moments where they're attracted to each other, and deep lunges and Peanuts talking weren't either of them.
Yeah.
And then Schmidt, I think when Schmidt was talking to Cece, he said the line, oh, back when white people would win the sprints.
Oh, I have that down too. That was hilarious.
That was part of the Olympics. Yes. They were talking about something about the Olympics.
It's because the Romneys host their own Olympics, like the Romney family. And he said, there the white people win the sprints.
Yeah. He said that, and then he
Schmidt is extremely racist.
In this episode.
No, in all episodes.
Because then there was the Winston Kanye thing too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's further down, the Winston crack episode.
Oh, that's
just a hot mess. So anyways, Schmidt's on his date, and he's about to kiss this girl who thinks he's tag Romney, but then the Kappas for Romney come over because they were so excited, and he
Kappa slipped. Sue Romney.
Kappa Sue Romney.
Oh, I thought it was Kappas for Romney.
I put
no
Sue.
Kappa would
without
Sue.
Without closed caption. I can't tell you.
Yeah, you need to turn it back on.
Although Kappa Sue sounds more like, because Sue is a Greek letter. Yeah.
Well, I don't
four is not really a Greek letter.
I don't think it was a sorority with Romney in the name. I think it was we're the Kappa Data Delta whatever. And another subsection of us are for Mitt Romney.
Romney's.
Kappa's for Romney.
So a subsection of that sorority.
Yeah.
Got it.
Okay. Like a club, if you will.
Yeah.
So he slips up and says that he fishes with his dad and they hold beers.
And they're Mormon.
No, they drink beers.
No, no,
like,
he's
wait
very,
a minute.
No, he very specifically said we hold beers. And then she said, well, your dad's Mormon, you don't drink. And he's like, Elephant uses their names. Like, just know, Kristen or whatever. Yeah. He's like, we want to support American breweries, so we just hold them.
Yeah.
So good.
And we'll get more into that scene later, but we can see it's not looking good for Schmidt.
No,
he's basically busted. Now, Jess is on a date with Sam and is asking him under what conditions he would put together a dresser for a woman. And he said, only marriage, which I think's a little extreme. Yeah.
Maybe he's just really not handy.
I definitely feel like people can be friends and help each other put together furniture.
I hope so.
Joe?
Well, they said the line, don't buy furniture because it assumes you share something.
Well, we're not there yet. That's Winston
and it
says that.
Doesn't say don't listen to Adele.
Well, let's wait till we get there.
Oh, okay.
Which is the next scene. Nick is on the couch, shoving his head into a pillow repeatedly, which is a very popular meme. And he says he talked to Jess. He feels terrible. And he tells Winston. And Winston says you just have to have boundaries. You have to have rules. You never Adele.
Never.
No Adele or you're a fluffer.
Don't do it.
And he says you can't build furniture for someone because it implies you two will use that furniture together one day. And you guys aren't going to, he says about Nick and Jess. Which, shame on Winston for saying that. And then they get into one of their famous slap fights.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I don't know why I like them or think they're funny.
They're just fun. They're just lighthearted.
So he ends it with, do you want my help? Nick says yes. Do not build the dresser. So Nick walks by the dresser and obviously is going to build it. So we're back at the apartment where Schmidt is on his date.
Oh.
And the girls are questioning him. And he's like, here's a picture of the whole family. And he's like, well, who do you think took it? Kristen, Jennifer, or whatever. And it just ends bad for him. But I love when he does his speech and there's like the patriotic music in the background.
One of my favorite part is the scenes of the series is when he names all 16 grandkids.
Yeah. How he
He's
did
all
that.
So real.
So, and you're just saying facts you memorized off the internet. Which is so accurate.
Oh, I know. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Poor Schmidt. Okay, so then, and this is, you know, Taylor Swift gets mentioned a lot.
And I don't know I don't know if you noticed, but Schmidt did his hair like a Romney would, like a politician would.
Oh, I knew it was slightly
He
like,
never does that side part.
The side part.
And he did that side part like
to
a politician
would. To go with his
belt.
Nice.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
So then Cece comes into the loft and says to Schmidt, when you're experiencing a Taylor Swift range of emotions, I'm supposed to come over, right?
Right.
And they have a really good scene talking about why he feels neglected because his dad left. But the scene ends with her saying, call your dad. And we learn later he doesn't have any contact with his dad between.
No. So not until the. Well, I don't want to spoil
it. Well, not only that, but we see probably the most racist line in the show in in this scene where he says, well, being brown, you have the wisdom of a thousand white women.
It's not a great episode for him.
I mean,
three that I can think of.
I can't believe that got on TV.
It's a long time ago.
In 2013.
But also, it's not like every character in the show walks around talking like that. Like, they paint Schmidt in a certain light. A certain political party.
And it's always satirical. It's not really mean-spirited.
It might be inappropriate. But everything he says is inappropriate.
Everything he
says. So it would be in line that some of it's racial.
You have a wisdom. It's just funny.
Okay, so anyways, while Joe continues to laugh about that scene he's already watched, we're going to see Winston and Shelby.
Oh, wait. Cece's breasts are like memory foam.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, when he hugs, she hugs him. She's like, I think you need that.
See, and he says that was inappropriate, too.
So that was inappropriate, right.
So Winston's in the car with Shelby, and he's telling her that basically he's been cheating on her in his mind. And she says, you can think about whatever you want to think about. I'm not mad. Do you want to come up and watch SVU? And he was like, I like to unwind after a fight. And he's like, who got in a fight? She's like, we just had a fight.
And by the way, SVU was big back then.
It's just the obvious that it's the
Special Victims Unit.
She said she couldn't watch Everyone Loves Raymond when she's all fired up, which is your show.
Which is my fave.
Yeah. So I just thought that it was definitely the sign that's the beginning of the end for those two.
Yeah.
And even not knowing if I hadn't watched future episodes.
I knew they were never forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Jess walks in to see that Nick's done with her dresser, and she says, no, please don't do it. I can't let you work in emotional porn. You have too much to offer.
Emotional porn.
Which is so funny. And he says that they're just two people who are friends who are sometimes attracted to each other, and that he doesn't like people saying what they can and can't be to each other.
Don't boss Nick around,
and he likes putting together IKEA furniture because it's like high stakes Legos.
Yeah.
Which it is.
It is.
It's very high stakes.
Yeah.
So he gives Jess Nick's Sexy Mix CD for her to play, and that's the first time I believe we see Nick moonwalk in this show. Is when he moonwalks away from the room and hears her playing
it. So funny. His Sexy Mix.
Which
oh
is like
my
terrible.
Gosh.
It has terrible songs.
But Sam understandably hates it.
Well, it was working, but he just wanted it off when they were done.
Right.
Yeah. And that's the episode.
Nice episode. Nick dancing at the end was a great end.
For a guy who doesn't want to dance, they sure make him dance.
Like every
he just was leaping in the last episode.
Yeah, like every four or five episodes he dances.
I know. Yeah. Poor guy. All right, so let's get into our Jess favorite look, Heather.
Okay, for me, there was nothing I was obsessed with. So I'm going to just point out two things. I guess if I had to choose, I'd go with the blue dress with the red belt. It was cute. It was patriotic. It was much longer than her other outfits. Mm-hmm. So that's good. Also, I learned something. Is that she wears bathrobes a lot more than I ever knew. Because last week I pointed out a bathrobe. So it's not always pajamas. It's sometimes bathrobes. And that's all. And also, in the bathroom, she wore her hair half up and half down. Just want to say it's my favorite
so
hair.
So fluffy. So cute. Joe, your favorite dress look from this episode?
Well, when she was at the thermos, with the thermos on.
Oh.
On the date.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it. That was mine, too. Her red dress for the date.
Yeah, the red dress.
About that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like when she wears red. I guess because I'm supposed to, because in the credits she wears red.
Yeah.
So best dress I'm giving to Schmidt's belt. I think we all probably did.
The
peak well, siblings.
I think anyone who watches this episode is going to walk away predisposed to pick the belt because they talk about it so much. It's also a cute belt. I liked it. Favorite Schmidt moment, Heather?
All the parts where he's pretending to be a Romney.
Yes.
Especially the 16 grandkids.
Exactly. Joe?
Yeah, when he had to get himself out of that hole, that was a tough hole to get out of. So I like those scenes with the Romney and the sorority girls.
So when I was writing this down, I was like, oh, I'm just going to say I like all the Tug Romney arc, except for when he gives his patriotic speech. And then he's like, nitpicking's a turn off for me. You're all horribly ugly. Tug Romney, out. That was my favorite. They really wrapped that up with a bow.
Tug Romney, out.
We have a zero jar count, although as we just discussed in detail.
There was a lot of opportunities.
So what was everyone's favorite or funniest moment from the episode from any character, Joe?
I would say it had to be... I would say the thermos scene.
Yeah.
That's funny to me.
Stuff.
Because
under
wine
the table.
Wine in a thermos. I mean, people, when you sneak in alcohol, generally into events.
Why does Joe seem like little, he knows?
It's the little. Well, I'm in food and beverage. It's always the little airplane.
Oh, yeah. Liqueurs,
you know, yeah, they sneak that in. So you go buy a soda, and then you pour your airplane, because that's hard to detect for the people who are patting you down. And then you have a mixed drink that would cost you probably $15 at a sporting
event.
For free. For basically maybe that soda, which costs you $3.
$1.50. Yeah.
So I just thought it was funny that they used a full thermos. That was kind of a tough way to...
Well, yeah. I knew a woman who got away with that for years, wine in a water bottle. And she, one time, her friends took her out for her birthday. There was no need for her to do that. They would have bought her drinks. And El Frito kicked her out.
No, yeah, you can't go around.
No,
yeah.
You can't do it.
Yeah. I like when Nick said, could you bring me ice for this? But like a lot, because it's a thermos.
Yeah.
And she just... And then he goes, he did like this, and then the walking fingers, like bring it, like showing her how.
I know, showing her
how. Heather, what was your favorite or funniest moment?
Oh, I hate to repeat myself, guys, but Schmidt being a Romney. I mean, yeah. I'm sorry, I was obsessed with it.
My favorite moment was when Jess said, I can't let you work on emotional porn. You have too much to offer.
Yeah, that was...
Like, it was real porn.
She was that was a great in. Line.
It was.
Yeah.
So, let's give out the Honey Roast Award for the best character, performance, prop, etc. in an episode. Heather, why don't you go first?
Okay, can anyone venture...
Max Greenfield.
Max Greenfield.
Yes.
He carried the episode.
You're like Kappas for Max Greenfield.
I am Kappas for Max Greenfield. He's my favorite character, though. So, it makes sense that I would... I mean, he carried the episode. He's into Kanye. He's into Romney.
I liked it. I wouldn't say he carried the episode. I think
so
he,
much.
Well, Nick Jess dynamic.
Well, he carried it so much so that the storyline of Jess and what's his name, Sam, was a byline.
It wasn't even like the B story.
That was supposed to be
the
you know,
A story.
Yeah,
right.
Being the it was called the Fluffer. The episode was called Fluffer.
So it was about Nick.
And yeah,
it was supposed to be Nick.
It was supposed
that's
to be.
The catch.
But Mick kind of overshadowed him by
see,
doing
when
the
I
Romney
think back of Fluffer, I'm going to think about Romney. That's, I'm not going to think about anything
I
else.
I forgot when I saw it with Fluffer. I didn't even remember that
it
was...
It reminded me of Joe because Joe likes floofies, which are different than Fluffers.
Yeah, well, not only that, I like when Jess go, ew, is that even a job?
Yeah.
Because she thinks it's a shower thing. Yeah.
No, that's not why. It's because she just didn't know that was a job.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
She didn't know it was a job in the adult entertainment
I think you're the only one who thought it was a shower floofy.
I didn't know what a... Yeah, I didn't...
A floofy is not a fluffer. Yeah.
So, Joe, who did you give your
floofy's
honey roast award
clean,
to? Honey roast award.
Oh, yeah. Schmidt, just because he was able to... And you know what? The girls... you know, the girls kind of collectively were kind of like good in the banter with him, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Saying?
Oh, great. That was a great scene.
So I think the banter between them really kind of enhanced that scene and really made it better than anything that we saw with the Fluffer or IKEA and furniture and things like that.
Now, I'm going to give it to Max Greenfield / Schmidt, too. But also, I want to give it to whoever wrote that part of the episode.
Oh,
because who sits around and is like, oh, Schmidt would be a great pretend politician to hook up with a girl. Right. It seems so obvious, but also I never thought
when
of
you
it.
It was brilliant. Good job,
now,
writer.
I did not find a bear in this episode. Did either of you?
No, I couldn't find one. And I didn't see the refrigerator pan.
Joe, did you?
In this episode?
Oh, my God.
No, I didn't see it in this episode.
Okay, so if anyone sees it, if you could just put it on Instagram.
Yeah, let us know, guys.
I like when Joe starts going, it could have been in the restaurant.
It could have been at Jess's school.
All right, that brings us to discussion questions. Heather, what do you got?
Okay, I'm going to go with, I have two. Have you ever stalked a celebrity the way Schmidt stalks Kanye?
Joe?
Have I ever stalked a celebrity?
Yes. Not like a crazy stalker, but like how Schmidt is obsessed with meeting Kanye.
No, because I think the only person that maybe a fan of, because I'm just not a celebrity. I'm not a celebrity fan. But if I was, it'd be Jennifer Aniston. But
it would.
I've never really stalked her.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't, like, if you like the Kardashians, you would go to Dash.
We did that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Not in a stalking way, but you did it because you wanted to see the thing. Like, if Jennifer owned a store in Calabasas, I don't know if I would go to that store.
You would totally go.
You would go.
You're
nothing else we'd make you go.
Yeah.
You'd end up there.
Yeah.
But, that's why I can't relate to it as far as that. So I would say no, I have not stalked any kind of celebrity.
Okay.
Yes. Have. Well, one time I went to, this is funny because I was going to talk about this anyway because it involves Kanye West. So my cousin worked for the company that produced the VMAs.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were in Los Angeles, she gave me tickets, not to the inside of the VMAs, but Kanye West was performing outside mm-hmm. that year. And then also the space where you watched him perform from was where the after party was going to be. So I got to go to the after party. And I was married at the time, so I wasn't like looking to meet a celebrity. But Jeff Timmons from 98 Degrees there. And I really loved 98 Degrees when I was younger, but too old to love a boy band probably. And I was like, oh, I can't talk to him because, like, what will I say? And it doesn't matter anyway. And my cousin took my arm and literally my feet left the ground. She threw me into him. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. Like, my cousin threw me at you because I used to totally be obsessed with you. And he's like, used to. And I was like, oh, my God, this is already going so bad. And so I took a picture with him. Fun fact, a year ago or 2 years ago, 98 Degrees did a Christmas tour. And one of my friends who's in radio got me tickets and I got to see him again and update our photo together, which was a lot of fun. So I guess in a way I stalked him.
You stalked John Mayer though.
But I stalked John Mayer like it's my job.
Publicly.
I've never spoken about it on the podcast because it's not a podcast about John Mayer, but I love him more than I love Jake Johnson.
Whoa.
And I met him once.
Are you comfortable saying that?
And I lost the power of speech. I turned into Hev. And did not ask him for his phone number. I was single and young, and it's haunted me for life. So, John Mayer, if you listen to our podcast,
and
I really don't think you do, hit us up. In particular, me. Heather, have you stalked a celebrity?
Yeah. Well, I kind of quasi-stalked when we went to Dash. Yes. And then I met Courtney, so I was at peace.
Mm-hmm.
And then also I stalked a singer named Keaton Simons.
Oh, you did.
And my friend Paula and I... the first time we met him, she had to talk for me because I couldn't get any words out. And interestingly enough, he ended up being a close friend of mine. Mm-hmm. He's come out and done benefits for my sister's work. And he, if you don't already know who he is, go ahead and Google.
He's got some great hits. He does have some great hits. He did great concerts for my work.
Yes.
Did you have a second discussion question?
Yeah. Have you ever pretended or exaggerated that you were connected to a famous, either a famous family like Schmidt did or a famous person?
That doesn't seem like something you do.
I've been connected to a famous person.
I don't see you doing that.
No.
I haven't.
You haven't?
That's dishonest.
Well, I kind of have and haven't. When I was in elementary school.
Oh my God.
Our grandma came to
our
house.
Well, when I was six, I might have.
Well, no, I was like in probably seventh grade.
Uh-huh.
And my grandma told me that we were distantly related to Hope on Days of Our Lives.
Oh, my God.
Hope Sheehan?
The character's name was Hope.
Oh.
And that we are related to her.
And distantly.
Yeah.
And so that was when she was super popular on Days of Our Lives. So when I went to school, I just shortened it. She's my cousin.
You know, and I think that's dishonest because not on that side of the family, but in our family in general, our family's so big and we all insist on like being in contact with each other.
Yeah.
I just don't understand how I'm related to some people. So I'm like, oh, okay. My cousin. Like so my third cousin, fourth cousin. That's not
relevant
information.
No, I just call people my cousin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joe, did you come prepared for the discussion question?
No, I didn't. But, you know, I found an interesting fact.
On your phone?
That... we talked about this a lot, and it didn't come up in this episode, but when food and beverage does come up, it's always the word charcuterie.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I was looking at some things in food and beverage, and seeing how popular this is, because I've seen it lately on everywhere. Different holiday cooking shows.
Oh, yeah.
They talk about different making different charcuteries.
Hot chocolate, gingerbread, whatever.
Yep. So the number one food trend, which is up over 1,038%,
wow.
The number one food trend is meat and cheese charcuteries. Meat and cheese ones.
When did it go up 1,038?
I can explain that.
It spiked during COVID.
But I can explain that because people do time-lapse videos putting the boards together because, like, the boards are pretty. So, like a TikTok or an Instagram reel, be like, start with an empty board, and then they'll show how they do it. One of my friends on Facebook is always showing her videos. It's like a thing now.
Oh, I want to see that person's video.
Yes, and the searches are 3 times more this
year. That's because
of
our podcast.
Last year.
That's because of us.
Okay, I want to be sponsored by charcuterie.
Oh, my God. If you want to get sponsored by one more thing that doesn't exist in sponsorship.
Oh, I thought it was like...
You think cheese and meat are sitting around waiting to sponsor us?
Well, a cheese and meat company.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Because there is a cheese and meat company.
They're probably.
Well, you also look at what's the hottest diet trends right now. Keto. And these charcuterie, the meat and cheese boards, are perfect for keto.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Not some of the other ones.
So I think it's a combination of everything. Something like she said, time lapse. You can put it on Instagram,
pretty,
TikTok, everything
it all
else.
Yeah.
You got your diet aspect.
People
You've
have
got,
the time
people
to
are at home, so they want to do something different.
Well, I know people aren't getting together, but even at home, that's a horrible idea for COVID. Because it's out and exposed and you're putting your hands on it.
Right. So your kid comes home from work and they put all their germs.
Like your charcuterie board's just out all day.
Yeah.
Anyway, any other discussion, question, or topic, Joe?
No, that is it.
Okay, so I was just going to tell you guys that I saw Kanye West perform.
Oh, right.
I didn't mean to. It was just
at
happened.
The Jingle Ball or Jingle Bell or whatever.
Well, it was at the VMAs. Like I told the story,
Jingle Ball was last
night.
Jingle Ball was last night.
It was a couple weeks ago.
Oh.
Oh yeah, it was a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
And
we
it
can
was
just quit pretending.
It was all
yeah.
virtual.
Right.
And then so like when like Sam Smith would get done singing, he'd be like, "Oh, and this is my favorite Dua Lipa or something like that." And then
Dua
they go into yeah, they
yeah.
go into
oh
her.
God.
Then when she gets
She's
done,
not gonna sponsor
oh,
us.
I really like Bang Bang, and then Bang Bang would play and everything. So it was kind of a different kind
yeah,
of
it's,
music
it's
festival.
Weird when things are virtual. Yeah.
My discussion question is about fantasy football.
What?
Have you played it? Do you have strong feelings about it? I'll go first.
Okay.
When I used to work in baseball, this story.
We're like, all right. We're
I
not playing with that.
I get whenever I do fantasy football occasionally with my son because he likes it, and I won it once,
oh.
and I only pick it by people who he's interviewed since he does his sports interview YouTube thing, and or people who like went to high school out where we live. I just do it really weird, and I won that way once. But anyway. I hate fantasy football because I used to work in baseball. That's how I met Joe. He worked there at this time too, Joe, so you might remember this. And every year the guys in the office would get together and do a fantasy football league. A, they never invited the girls. Not that I wanted to, but that's rude
sexism.
And sexist. Two, the first year they did it after work in the conference room. Great. Have a great day. Have fun. The next year they did it was during the work day.
Ooh,
it was?
Joe.
Yes, Joe. And I won't say who. It wasn't Joe. This was the person who was in charge of
it
that.
Starts with a P.
Thank you, Joe. It does. The person who was in charge at that moment. So lead by example, he would come out of his office screaming at the person who hadn't done their pick yet. Meanwhile, I had to sit at my desk and do my real work all day. Every male in the office got to scream at each other about fantasy football. Therefore, I hate fantasy football. I get mad when I hear it. And it makes me mad in the episode when Jess says it. And I just really want to get that off my chest. Does anyone else have anything they want to share?
Problem shared is a problem half.
Yes, Joe.
No, I liked fantasy
football.
Well,
you worked there. You were a man.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it was something that kind of bonds you outside the monotony of baseball because it's 24/7 baseball
right.
for 9, 8, 7, 6 months straight.
Right.
So it's nice towards the end of the season you get into fantasy football.
Yeah.
And be able to share that bond. And I guess that was that person's fault for not inviting the girls, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
So
if
I won't.
He was the person in charge. Yeah, he just kind of had to go along with
it. I won't speak to that because they didn't have the wisdom of 1,000 white women. You know what I'm saying?
Nice. So, nice tie-in, Joe.
Yeah, if he listens, this is going to get awkward real fast. His wife could listen.
Oh, yeah,
I'd
be
surprised if she did.
She might know.
I have no problem with her. I don't even have a problem with him. I like him a lot. I had a problem with that. Anyways.
I don't even fully comprehend what fantasy
football
is.
Yeah, I was just
going to
skip you. Sorry.
Skipping over me.
Heather doesn't really. She watched the Super Bowl. Okay, so
no,
that.
No, only the music.
Exactly. That concludes our discussion on this episode. Great news. I know what the next episode is. It's number 4, Neighbors, one of my least favorite episodes from the season.
Oh. I like that episode.
That's which is interesting because the next show Schmidt went on to was
Neighborhood. Actually, wasn't
Neighbors is always part of the neighborhood.
It wasn't the next show, but he did eventually get to the Neighborhood.
Yeah. Oh, he did another
show? He was
show?
On like American Horror Story.
Oh.
And I think that was it.
I should probably look up everything he's ever been on in his life and watch it.
All right. Well, we hope you guys have a great week. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.